Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This will be the last of our Thanksgiving messages this year. Next year starts Advent as we prepare for Christmas. And I, personally, I think I saved the best song for last. It's a familiar number to most everybody who's spent any amount of time in church. I actually learned it in school. Believe that or not. I learned it in elementary. But then I relearned it when I finally got into church as a teenager. And I learned it in King James. And I've read it in many other versions, so I'm going to read it in New King James because I actually like the way the wording's done in it. But before we get into that, I want you to think about spending time in a cave, hiding from an army that's hunting you down personally, and any person who's daring to follow you. While in those caves, you see the person who's hunting you, the person that you admire, the person that you followed, the person that you promised to serve, looking for you to kill you. And you have an opportunity to end this chase right there. But in honor to God, you choose not to. It's what David was facing when he wrote a lot of these Psalms. It's what he was facing. He was facing fear. He was running from Saul. He was hiding out in caves. And there's one instance that, if we're reading the accounts, we see where Saul goes into a cave to relieve himself, to be about as discreet as you can be about it. And David's in the back of that cave, and he can see him from where he's at, and his followers are urging him, kill him now. He says, I won't lay a hand on God's king. There's another instance where Saul is sleeping out in the open, and David has the opportunity to go right up to him and just kill him. But instead, he puts a spear beside him. Takes his water jug, or it's something similar to that. But it's a sign to Saul, hey, I had the chance, but I didn't take it because I honor you because you're God's chosen person. And Saul still is chasing him down. So David's fearing for his life. He's running for his life. He's trying to find some place of peace because he doesn't want to take the seat of king, even though he knows God has chosen him to be king. Until it is his time. He wants Saul to serve his kingdom out and to live his life as king. And his time comes to an end before he takes that place. And he even fully expects Saul's son Jonathan to take the place of king before David gets a chance to. But Jonathan dies, and so David knows it's his turn after that. But he's in fear, he's running, he's hiding, he's living in caves. His men brave not only Saul's army, but the Philistine army to get him a cup of water. There's a lot of things going on in David's life. And if you put yourself in any type of situation where there's a lot of things going on in your life, where you're scared of poor health conditions that's going on, poor financial conditions that's going on, poor work conditions that's going on, just poor life, struggles in family, struggles in relationships, struggles throughout all different parts of life. You understand some of the fear that David may have had. And he's still able to write this powerful psalm among so many others. And I'm going to read through it first, and then we'll come back to it, and we'll go over it a little more in depth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's one of the simplest psalms that we have, and that's why we teach it to children. Because it's the rhythm of it and everything makes it easy to remember. But it has so much powerful meaning. Meaning, when you read it verse for verse and piece for piece, that it is a song of praise, a song of thanks that David's given to God. In the first three verses, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's how he starts this in the first verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He knows that God is his shepherd, and he provides rest, refreshment, restoration, and righteousness in these first three verses. I shall not want. God provides. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I get rest because of God, no matter what I'm facing in life. He leads me beside the still waters. I get refreshment in life, no matter what's going on, because of God. He restores my soul. I get restoration. I get made new through God, no matter what's going on in my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He makes me righteous for his name's sake, no matter what's going on in my life. And that's what David's saying here is he's recognizing the Lord is the shepherd. David was a shepherd. He raised sheep. He understood what it meant to take care of the sheep. And so the analogy here is personal to him. It's part of who he was. And he recognized no matter how much he did for those sheep, God did more for him. He does more for us. Because the Lord is our shepherd. Because of him, we have rest, refreshment, restoration, and righteousness. But he doesn't stop there. The next verse, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The single verse has a lot laid out in it. See, the Lord is our strength. That's what David's recognizing. Is that no matter what's going on in life, I have no real reason to be afraid. I have no real reason to fear because the Lord is my strength. And he provides salvation and safety for me. See that little phrase right there in the middle, "You are with me." God with us. Emmanuel. It's one of the names of Jesus. It's Emmanuel. God with us. David is already acknowledging salvation from God through Jesus. He's saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though death is constantly chasing me, I will not fear evil. Because God with us. God is with us. He says that you offer me salvation. I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear death because you're with me. And he says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You're giving me safety. You will beat back the wolves. That's what a shepherd does is he beats back the wolves and he keeps the wolves and the lions and whatever else is coming after the sheep at bay. He protects his flock. He offers safety for his flock. Then David finishes up the psalm. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That sentence means that when my enemies are at the door, God is still going to let me eat. He's still going to make a dinner for me, no matter what enemy is coming at me. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." You're going to pour out blessings on me, even when my enemies are approaching. So much that they're going to overflow and I have to put them on other people because I can't contain the amount of blessings that he's going to offer us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." get much simpler than that. When you trust in Jesus, mercy and goodness follow you. And you may not always see it because the enemies are trying to blind you. But he's already did it, and he did it in this way. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever happens in this life, the next life I'm with God. In his house. The Bible tells us that Jesus has already gone forth to make us a place. In his Father's house there are many rooms. And he's prepared a room for us. Because the Lord is our sanctuary, our setting place, our place to go when things are bad. And he provides assurance that even in the presence of our enemies, we have a table. He provides anointment that even in the presence of our enemies, he will bless us. And he provides absolution that in the presence of our enemies, he will offer us eternal life through his Son. You see, a shepherd gets into the field and he's protecting his sheep, but they ain't just protecting his sheep. While the enemies are out on the tree line, while the wolves are looking at the sheep and thinking how tasty that would be, they're able to eat in peace. David knew this because he has done that. While they sleep, he's protecting them. While they eat, he's protecting them. While they drink that water, he's protecting them. Because the table's prepared in the presence of the enemy. They're there. They're coming at you. They're attacking you. Whatever's going on in life is trying to slow you down. God says, eat. Be filled. Enjoy what I have given you. This green and open pasture. And then he anoints my head with oil. The shepherd will take olive oil and pour it over the head of the sheep because it causes the flies and the gnats to go away from the oil. They don't like the oil. So it keeps them out of their face and their eyes and helps to protect them. And it keeps the fleece on the sheep because that's where the shepherd makes his money, right? It's the fleece. It keeps the fleece free of the fleas and the gnats and the eyes and flies. It just keeps them out of it. Because it's washed and it's slick and they don't want to touch it. God's pouring those kind of blessings out on us. He's pouring oil over our heads so that the fleas and the gnats and the flies of sin are washed away from us and out of us so that we can enjoy the blessings that he has to offer. And then it don't get any simpler than that last sentence, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because of God. We have that to be thankful for. Because of God, he has made a way for us to enjoy eternity with him. Forever is eternity with him. I don't really like using the word absolution, but it fits. It's because we've associated it so much with the Catholic Church and that priests can offer absolution. But it's through Jesus Christ that absolution is offered. And that's the part that we miss. Because even here in a Protestant church, we have the idea of absolution. It comes through Christ. His blood paved the way for our salvation so that we are free from sin. So that whatever has happened in our past, we can confess it to the Lord and he makes it clear. He makes us clean. And he gets rid of everything that's approaching us. And just loop everything around, Jesus put himself as the good shepherd. As the good shepherd. See, he told us that many would come, but he was the good one. In John chapter 10, verse 7 through 18, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. See, when the sheep were herded in at night, they were kept in a pen. And there was one door for those sheep to go in and out of. And the shepherd stayed at that door. Anybody else who come in there would have to climb the walls. They're not allowed in to mess with the sheep without the shepherd's permission. So he says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. See, Jesus is a good shepherd because he provides all of those things that David had described. See, it's because of Jesus that we have rest. He tells us to come and give him our burden. It's because of Jesus that we have refreshment. He says he is the living water and the bread of life. It's because of Jesus we have restoration. He says you will be raised anew through me. It's because of Jesus that we have righteousness, if we have any at all. Because it's his that we carry and not our own. It's because of Jesus that we have salvation, because it was his life that paid the price for our sins. It was his sacrifice that was made on the cross. And his resurrection by which death was defeated. It's because of Jesus that we have safety. And not the kind of safety that the world has been trying to promise us, but safety from repeating those sins, because he opens our eyes to recognize when we've made a mistake so that we can repent. And we can say, Jesus, I messed up. Because a sinner who is lost in sin doesn't see that he's sinning. It's only when your eyes have been opened by Christ that you recognize sin. And it's Jesus that gives us the assurance. All those who come to me will find rest. All those who come to me will find the way to God. It's only through me that you're saved. It's Jesus who anoints us. Only surprisingly, he doesn't anoint us by pouring oil over our heads. He anoints us by humbling himself and washing our feet. Because Jesus was a servant leader. He takes care of us. He honors us. It's Jesus who gave us absolution. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. Eternal life. Just for believing in him. See, Jesus is the shepherd that David was describing. Jesus is the answer to David's prayer in those caves. He didn't even know it, because it'd be 1,500 years before Jesus, as we know him, was even born. But he was there. Because it was Jesus, the physical embodiment that walked with Adam, that carried Enoch to heaven, that came and picked up Elijah, that spoke on the hilltop with Abraham, that met Moses on the mountain, that wrestled with Joseph. Jesus has been there from the beginning. John 1:1 tells us that the Word is God. Jesus is the Word.
So in the creation story, when it says God speaks, it's Jesus. He was there at all times. He's been there from the beginning, and He is still here today. When we speak the Word of God, we speak Jesus. And when we share the Word of God, we share Jesus. And we have that to be thankful for. When we think about the Word of God, thinking about Jesus, our mind is focused on Jesus. So let's be thankful that Jesus is a good shepherd and that He cares about each and every one of us and that He has provided so much for us. Let's thank on the things that He's provided for us. Let's share those things with those around us that we love. So that even if they don't yet know Jesus, they'll learn to know about Him through us. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You for the blessings You give us. And thank You for the opportunity to share Your Son with so many people. And I ask that if anybody doesn't know Jesus today, that they take an opportunity to listen to Your words and to at least lean in a little to the Scripture and look for Jesus. Because they'll find Him there. He's been calling their name for so long and they don't even realize it. They've heard something but they don't know what it is and they've ran in fear. Lord, please end that fear and allow them to hear His voice and answer, because they are the sheep that are not yet in the fold. And we ask that they come home and come back to You. We ask that You honor each and every one of us as we go out into this world and we share Your message with people that are around us and tell them about Your stories and Your songs and Your praises, Lord. And we ask that we keep the words that we've heard today on our hearts and on our minds and find that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we have reason to be thankful because You have provided so much for us. And I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.